Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Blessed be to the name of the Lord Jesus this evening. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters International Prayer Line. Tonight, I'm your host, Evangelist Tammy from Gary, Indiana. And we will be joined tonight, bringing the word for us tonight is Brother Anthony Clement, who will be bringing the word of God tonight. He is from Albany, Georgia, Seawood Ministries, Seawood Church in Albany, Georgia. First, let's lift up the Lord Jesus with a moment of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh God. Glory be to you, O Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight, O Heavenly Father, giving you a word of praise, giving you our breath, Lord God, in which we speak your holy name, your holy words tonight, O Heavenly Father. Father God, we thank you for this blessed prayer line tonight, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for the man of God that you've raised up, that you're bringing forth tonight to bring your word, O Heavenly Father. And we plead your blood over him in every situation that he has in his life, O Heavenly Father. And I thank you for bringing the word from your mouth through his mouth to touch our hearts, O Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that your word will not return unto you void, O Heavenly Father. I thank you that the words come out of his very mouth are sharper than any two-edged sword, O Heavenly Father. I thank you for the heart of our Brother Clement tonight, O Heavenly Father, for his spirit, for the spirit of obedience that you put inside of his body, Lord God. I speak health and wellness over his life and enrichment and prosperity in everything that he do, O Heavenly Father. Everything that he touch his hands with his hands shall be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus, shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just thank you, O Heavenly Father, for him once again for bringing the mighty word of Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to bless your holy name tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Again, good evening, everyone. I am Evangelist Tammy coming to you from Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters International Ministries, where our founders are Prophetess Teresa Phillips Docs and Brother Quentin Docs. Hallelujah. God bless you all very much tonight, and thank you for joining in with us again. And Brother Clement, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
God bless you. God bless you. Are you ready to bring the word for us?
Lord, I believe I am.
Amen. Amen. Well, I release the line over to you, Brother Clement. You may proceed. God bless
Hello,
you.
Hello, everybody.
Pardon
Hello,
me?
Everybody. No,
Hello.
I was trying to speak. Is there anybody else out there?
There
okay,
is.
Well,
we have other.
Yeah.
We do have other callers on the line.
Well, great. Well, for just in case you don't know, for those people who don't know me, my name is Anthony Clements again, coming all the way from Albany, Georgia, and I'm here to. I'm so delighted. I am so excited to give you a word from on high, and I am ready. I believe. Are you all ready for the word?
We are. We are. Hallelujah.
Well, all right. Well. First of all, let me go ahead and just say this real quickly. If everybody can just get your mouths together, I want you all to be sitting upright. And normally I can't, normally I see the people that I speak with. But nevertheless, what I want you all to do, if you're in a place where you can be sitting, you can sit up straight or you can stand up. And I want you to repeat after me. Are you all ready?
We're ready.
All right, here we go. I want you all to say, and I want you to declare, I was born to win.
I was born to win.
I was created to succeed.
I was created
to succeed.
In every aspect of my life.
In every aspect of my life.
My past does not determine my future.
My past does not determine my future.
But it's what I do right now.
But it's what I do right now.
I am well able to do outstanding work.
I am well able to do outstanding work.
And I really enjoy making smart choices.
And I really enjoy making smart choices.
And then I want you all to snap your fingers and say, with ease.
With ease.
With ease.
And say this, because every day.
Because every day.
In every way.
In every way.
I'm getting better and better.
I'm getting better.
I'm getting better and better.
Well, I hope you all say that with power, a conviction, and authority, because the truth is, the matter is that you are what you say you are. Dr. Cindy Trim said it best when she said, you must download your day by what you say.
Listen,
if I start getting a little bit hyped, please just know that I have not taken my peanut M&Ms. And if it start wearing off, I start getting excited. So, next time, y'all just send me some peanut M&Ms, and I'll be well on my way. So it keeps me grounded. But nevertheless, anyway, we're going to go ahead and go into the Word of God. And, of course, today we're going to talk about a very important lesson. This is probably going to be one of your most important lessons you'll learn on this call. And one reason why I say that is because everything that you have and every place that you are right now is a direct reflection of the words that you have spoken.
Amen.
Everything
Amen.
That you have and everything that you don't have is a direct result of the words that you have spoken. Let me ask you this. What would you say, and I'm talking to everybody, what would you say or stop saying if you knew for sure that everything you said would come to pass?
Ooh.
I'm going to say it again. What would you say or stop saying if you knew for sure that everything you said would come to pass? Let me bring it on home. Suppose if Jesus came into your church and he walked the aisles, and he laid hands on you on your shoulder, and he said, Sister Tammy or Sister Audrey, as I put my hand on your shoulder, from this day forward, everything you say will come to pass. Would that change your language?
Yes.
That is a question, y'all.
Yes.
Well, guess what? He did that over 2,000 years ago. He already has said it. He said, you shall have what you say.
Mm.
What create wars? What create peace? What create divorce? What create marriage? What create success or failure? What about destruction or invention? Well, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, listen, ladies, strap down your wigs. When you change your word, you will change your world.
Amen.
Amen.
When you change your words, you will change your world. So here's the thing. So I'm going to just give you some scriptures, and we're going to walk the word of God like a Philadelphia lawyer. Are y'all ready?
Amen.
Okay, now, of course, that's the title of our lesson today is When You Change Your Words, You Will Change Your World. I want you to go to the first book of the Bible. Does anybody know what that book is?
Yeah, we
Well, I hope you do.
You know where.
If you don't know, just turn to the table of contents. And it says Genesis. And I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. Okay?
Okay.
If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're there, say I'm there.
Right there. I had to get my glasses.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go on, but I want y'all to catch up with me because I'm moving real fast. Y'all got to catch up with me. I'm on speed trail. Now, here we go. Of course, I am reading the New International Version, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was void without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And guess what, y'all? And there was
there
what?
Was light.
There was what?
There was light.
Okay, do y'all need some coffee?
y'all and God said, let there be light, and there was
okay,
light.
There was light. Now, there's a clue in that statement. Notice, I want you to notice in the scripture that God never mentions darkness. He never mentions darkness. Darkness was only a commentary by the author Moses. God never mentioned darkness, but God always commanded the light to come forth. So we as believers, we are as receivers, need to emulate God. We need to act like God. We need to speak like God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know what some of us do? We say, Lord Jesus, my child is so bad. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. He's acting like his daddy. Yes, he is. And, but wait a minute, wait a minute. You're not calling forth the light. You're calling forth darkness. So one of the things that you're going to learn about this lesson is to become aware of the words that we're speaking. And we wonder sometimes why our children are behaving like baby kids, as some people will say, or the terrible twos. I don't believe in the terrible twos. I believe in the terrific twos. Hello.
Hello.
But here's the thing. We have to be careful of the words that we see. So if God is our Father, we must, and we are his children, it is only fitting that we talk like our daddy. People look at my son, they say, you know what? They say, Anthony, you know what? Your son talks just like you. Because my son loved to use big words and so forth. So when people ask my son, how are you doing? He said, I'm auspicious. He may say, I'm too equipped to be whipped. See, the reason why he talked that way is because he was taught that way.
Mm.
I'm going to say it again. The reason why he talked that way, that's T-A-L-K, the reason why he talked that way is because his daddy taught him that way. So God is teaching us to talk like him. So when something is going on in your children's or your family life, don't ever, please don't call forth the darkness. Don't use your words to describe the situation. Hello. Use your words to change the situation. Because words are creative power. Look at verse 6. We're just going to skip about. And God what? Said. And look at verse 9. We're just kind of skipping about. And verse 9. And God said. Verse 11. And God said. So God keep on talking. God is a spirit. He's a speaking spirit. And so when God starts speaking, things start happening. Now, I want you all to write this down. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Okay. Write this down. God does nothing first without speaking. God never does anything until he speak it first. So in other words, so whenever God wants a change in the darkness, Notice in the scripture, you won't see where God says, wait, Gabriel. Go on here. It's too dark out here. What is this? Lord, it sure is dark. God never said that. He never said that. God commanded the light to come forth. And guess what? As children, we must act and speak like God. One of the biggest tricks, and of course I don't give any honorable mentions to the enemy. See, when I don't even mention any, I'm just saying this so, for the sake of this conversation. The biggest thing that the enemy does is to get you to believe that God's word don't work. That's his biggest trick, is to get you and I to believe that his word don't work. You sure that's what the Lord said? Do you really think he's going to do it? If that's what the Lord said, are you sure? Listen to that. Those are one of his devices. And guess what? God has called us to a place where we are not ignorant of his devices. So in order to, and of course I'm just going to say this, and I'm trying not to mention him anymore, but in order to fight a smart devil, you got to be a smart Christian. So in order to do that, we got to understand and take in the value and the weight of our words. So I just want to get back to Jensen. Now, what I want you all to do, I want you all to flip to Proverbs. Y'all know what it is? Let's go to Proverbs.
Okay.
Proverbs. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Good. All right. I'm glad I got one. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. And it says this, and I'm still reading the NIV version. It says, death and life are in the power of the what?
Tongue.
And they that love it shall eat fruit thereof. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Notice the scripture does not say death and life are in the power of Satan's tongue. Isn't that interesting? Notice he did not say that death and life is in the power of even God's tongue. But he said that death and life is in the power of whose tongue? Your tongue. We have a song that says, is me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, I'm not a great singer, but I'm just using my point. But yes, it is the power of your tongue that brings about the death and the life. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you a story. This was a story by the name of a guy, and his name is Nick. And Nick was a very big, strong man who worked in the railroad for many years, and he was one of his company's best employees and always on work on time, reliable, and so forth. But one day, as he was working on the railroad, he got a call. What happened is that one of the crew members had an early hour leave to go home to celebrate one of the boss man's birthday. Well, all the workers, they went home about an hour early, but Nick was still in the cart. And what was happening is that he got locked in the cart where the railroad was. And Nick was looking around. He said, oh, my gosh, I've been locked in. So he started bimming on the cart, trying to get out, trying to escape, but he could not avail. And he kept beating, kept screaming, said, yes, please get me out of here, until his voice became raspy. But then he thought to himself, oh, my gosh, I'm freezing to death. And guess what? He started trembling and shaking and so forth. And so he found somewhere over there near the corner. He had a pencil, and he penned in these words. And these are the words that he wrote. He said, please tell my wife and children that I love them, for I have died a frostbite. I have frozen to death. Well, the next day, the foreman and the crew came trying to look for Nick. They said, where's Nick? He ain't showed up. Where? This is not like him. And finally, they opened up the cart, and behold, he was there, lying in a pool of blood. And they saw the writing on what he had inscribed, and it says that, please tell my wife and children that I love them and I have frozen to death. Well, they looked and they realized that the cord had rotted away years and decades ago. So there was no way it could have been operable. And it was like, what has happened? What has happened? And the thing has not worked for decades. He committed suicide in his mind. Committed suicide in his mind. Why? Because he spoke death. And let me tell you something about your brain, people. Your brain, God has created a 3-pound gray matter called the brain. The purpose of the brain is to obey everything you think, speak, and write, and literally, neurologically take it as a command. So, for example, if you say, gosh, everything I eat goes straight in my hips, you know what your brain says? Take the cake, put it on the hips. Anytime you say, gosh, everything I eat blends up, you know what your brain says? Take the cake, burn it up. Your brain does not know if you're kidding or not. So it only obeys what you decree. So the point is that death and life is in the power of your tongue. And guess what? You're going to eat the fruit. Fruit in that scripture meaning the manifestations that have come about in your life. Those are fruit. We ain't talking about no apples and oranges. You got to stop it. Stop. You know, some of you are looking at trying to go to Harvey's right now, trying to get an apple and orange. This is not what the scripture is talking about. The fruit are the results of what you have spoken. So please remember, death, weight lost, okay, career opportunities, blessings, husbands, wives, you see what I'm saying, businesses, credit restoration, all that is in the power of whose tongue? Not the devil's tongue, but your tongue. And guess what? You're going to eat the fruit thereof. Notice, so when you're looking at this scripture, it's in the power of your tongue. No longer can you blame the white man. No longer can you blame the system. No, you got to blame that hole up under your nose. You know what? And some of us are really just as Dr. Bill Winston, one of my mentors, he said, some of us are hung from the tongue. You're hung from the tongue. Matter of fact, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Is this good? All right, I see y'all need some more coffee. All right, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. And it says here, thou, meaning you, are snared with the words of your crooked mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. But here's the interesting thing. I'm not going to just share the negative effect of your spoken words, but we're also going to talk about the positive aspect of your spoken words. And the reason why I harp on the negative is so not to be negative, but to let you know that 85% of people's conversation is negative. That's something to think about. 85% of people's conversation or the conversation that they have with themselves is negative. So I'm dealing with this is so that you can stop sinning. Everybody say sin. Okay, well, I'm going into it. Sin comes from the Greek word hamartia, which means to miss the mark. Actually, it is a archery term. So when a person have the bow and arrow and they miss their target, it is said that he has sinned. Not that he has done wicked, but he missed the mark. So if you are talking down about your situation, talking about, oh, nobody knows the trouble I see. Oh, Satan's on my track and he's trying to turn me back. I'm trying to make it somehow. See, right there. Somebody say right there, that's R-A-T, right there is where you're being snared. could it be the reason why you are not where you want to be? Not because you was not destined, but your mouth is not in alignment with what God has spoken over your life. Let me give you my point. Sometimes we can be in our prayer closet, and we say, Lord, I thank you for bringing me out. I thank you for bringing me up. Lord, I thank you for your favor. Okay, now that's at your home. But outside of the home, you go to work, and you go talking to your coworkers. And your coworkers ask, how you doing? Oh, I can't stand that boss man of mine. I can't stand him. He always trying to undercut me. Lord, he done. See, right there, your conversation has aborted or even delayed the promise of God in your life. You didn't know. You did not know that if I speak against my employer, that thing come back at me. Let me share this with you. If words had a shape, it would be the shape of a boomerang. If words had a shape, it would be that of a boomerang. Because why? Because as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you're throwing out hate, you can't help but to get hate. If you're throwing out love, you can't help but to get love. So whatever you speak about, you are going to bring about. Whatever you think about and speak about and feel about, you, my friend, are going to bring it about. And guess what? Guess who's going to eat the fruit? You. Eat your fruit. That's right. You sure will eat your fruit. So my purpose is to get you to become aware of the words that you're speaking. Right? So what I want you all to do with me, there's a law. It's called the law of confession. And I'm just going to deal with this real quickly so that you're going to understand where I'm coming from. See, there is a law. God has laws in this universe. You've heard of the law of gravity, haven't you? The law of gravity says if you throw a ball up in the air, what's going to happen to that ball? In other words, it's going to come back down to the what? Ground. That's the law of gravity. You cannot do anything about that. So a certain act will create a certain result. Such as there's a law called a law of attraction, which basically means like attract like. And you also have, how many of you heard of the law of mama being on the phone? Well, if you haven't had that law experience yet, I'm going to tell you what my the law of mama was for me. If mama was on that phone and you trying to talk to her, the law says that you're going to see a shoe coming at 100 miles an hour with acceleration to connect. That was the law of mama. So the thing about what law is simply a principle based on the predictable consequence of an act. Then I'm going to say it again. The law is a principle based on the predictable consequences of an act. So the law of my mama, it was predictable. You knew what was going to happen if you started talking to your mama and using your finger to say, hey, mama, I want some hot dogs. Mama got some hot dogs in her shoe, and I think it might be your size. So that was the law of my mom being on the phone. But there's a law of the law of confession. I want you to write this down. The law of confession. Write that down. The law of confession says, and I'm trying to slow down because I'm feeling that my peanut M&Ms are wearing away, so I need to put some more in there. But it says, the law of confession says, whatever you think about, feel about, and speak about, you will bring about. Whatever you think about, speak about, well, feel about, and speak about, you will bring about. Confession comes from the Greek word homologios. And I'm just getting a little technical, but I'm coming back home. Just bear with me. Homologios. Homo means the same, like homosexual, homophones, same sound. homo means same. Logios means word. So when you look at the scriptures where it talks about confession, it means saying the same thing what God has said. Oh, my God. Saying the same thing what God has said. So when God said in his word in Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, let the weak say what? I am strong. That's what he said. He said, let the weak say I am strong. But see, the world says, let the weak say I am weak. Isn't that interesting? That's why we don't need to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when John says, listen, let the weak say, I am strong. The reason why you don't, that's why the people who says who are weak, they need to say, I'm strong. Why? Because anytime you use the word I am, you're taking on the name of the Lord. And that's another lesson for another time. But anytime you use the word I am, you are taking on the name of the Lord. So anytime you misuse it, matter of fact, let's go there. I want you all to turn to Exodus. We're going to Exodus. Are y'all there? Exodus chapter 20, of course, that is where God was given the Ten Commandments. Okay? And he said this, and we're looking at verse 7. Verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. So we're still talking about confession here, because anytime we are saying, I am, now guess what? You have just taken on the name. Remember when Moses was at the burning bush, and Moses said to God, he said, you know, listen, who do I say who sent me? Who do I say? What do I say? And God said, tell them I am that I am sent thee. Now Moses was like, what are you talking about? I am that I am sent. See, whatever you add to I am, you become. So going back to the scripture where it says that let the weak say I am strong. When you take it on I am, the name of God, when you add something negative to it, guess what? That is going to become your reality. That's going to be your God to you. But see, I serve a big God. I serve a mighty God. So guess what? We got to say what God says. See, your clothing them, your Eminem may say, you better call things the way they are. But guess what? The only way things change is when you change your language, when you start changing your words. When you change your words, you will change your world. So when you're looking at the scripture, when it talks about let the weak say I am strong, you take on the name of the Lord. And when you take on that name, now see, now I want you all to say this. I want you all to say this. Say, I am. Okay, well, I'm assuming that you all are saying that and you all have your lines on mute. But if you said I am, you have just taken on the very power of heaven, I am. Now, what you going to do with that name? Don't mess it up. Some people say, I am broke. Uh-oh. Some people say, I am sick. I am not enough. See, here's the thing. Let me just share this with you about sickness. It's okay for you to affirm that you are sick because you need people, the professionals need to know what is going on with you, okay? We're bringing a balance here. It's okay to say I'm sick, but here's the thing. Don't leave it as a period. Yes, you say the fact, yes, I am sick, but this is what you need to do. Put a bullet in it. put your butt in the way. So if you are sick, you can say, I am sick, but I'll be all right in about another hour or so. See, you really want to affirm the truth, but if the truth is negative, also put it right by beside it, a positive truth. I feel like I don't have money, but it's, matter of fact, money is here already. The problem is that sometimes we are seasick. We don't see how it can happen. We don't see how just by saying, I am wealthy, I am more than a conqueror, I am. Sometimes it's hard for us to see that. But you're not, so don't worry about what you see. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you have to have the word of God inside of you so you can call some things, decree some things, because the miracle is in your mouth. You don't have to have a prophet to prophesy over you. You, every last one of you, are prophet and prophetess over your own lives. Every last one of you. So it behooves us to take an account of the words that we are saying. Our words are shaping our world. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to share this with you right quick. Now, one of the things that will help you in terms of your speaking the word of God, sometimes when people ask you, how are you doing? That's a good start. If somebody were to ask you, how are you doing, what is your response? Well, I'm going to tell you what some folks say. Some folks say, I'm all right. Some people say, I'm fine. Some people say, I won't complain. And not even knowing that statement alone is a complaint. I won't complain. That is a complaint. That's how come you probably won't ever hear me say things like I'm good or I'm all right or I'm okay and so forth, because studies have shown that when you say I'm fine or I'm okay or I won't complain, you actually create your day to be mediocre. And then you're wondering why things are not happening for you as fast. Is because of your spoken words. Write this down. Language is location. Language is location. Your language determines where you are in life. Your language determines where you are in life. For example, suppose I say parle vous français. What country am I coming from? Well, for those of you who are still on mute, the answer is France. Suppose I say, como usted? What country am I coming from? Probably Mexico. Suppose I say, what's up, dog? What's up, my Negro? I'm coming from the streets. Suppose I say, I am broke. Uh-oh. You're coming from the state of poverty. You're coming from the state of poverty. When you say, I don't have money, that is really not the truth, whether you believe it or not. You are creating a truth by your spoken words. God's ways are not our ways, nor our thoughts his thoughts. But here's the challenge with us, is that when God says, let the weak say, I am strong, God is saying, if you see lack, don't say it. If you don't see how it's going to work, don't say it. Matter of fact, let's go to Ecclesiastes. No, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs, chapter 30. So y'all can see what I'm saying. I'm not just shooting. Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 32. And I would advise you to write this down so you can go back and chew on it some more. Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 32. And it says this. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. The enemy is waiting on your mouth. So is God. Who are you going to give it to? Are you going to talk like the devil, D-E-B-B-E-L? Or are you going to talk to the El Shaddai? Or are you going to talk like him? We sing the song, he's El Shaddai, he's God of enough. But in our language, in our actions, we make him El Cheapo, the God of not enough. So we don't want to insult God by not talking like his children. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. See, all things in terms of our life, see, our lives are based and linked to the words that we speak. Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 7, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, it said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, if there be any good thing, if there be any good report, think or speak. And this is my input. Speak on these things. See, if you're talking, I can tell a whole lot about you based on the words that you're saying, based on your language. Language is location. What do you say? This is what you can say, even if, like, for your money. In terms of the money issue, people have, they pray like this, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to raise my hand too. I used to pray like this. Lord, I'm out of debt. In 93, I'm dead out. But guess what? The subject of my prayer was debt. And guess what? Debt showed up in my mailbox every time. Why? Because I called it home. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we cannot be ignorant of his devices. So it's one of those things, we have to check out our mouth. We got to, I call it, do a checkup from the neck up. We need to do a checkup from the neck up. How are we speaking? So it is not necessarily a problem in terms of the money, problem with your mouth. You got to decree at home. God said in his word, he says, whatever you shall have, whatever you say. It says, look at verse, I'm looking at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18 and 20. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 through 20. But in short, it says, verily I say unto you, and this is Jesus saying, whatsoever ye shall what? Bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. How can you bind things on earth? With your words. How can you bind things in heaven? With your words. How can you loose things on earth? With your words. What about loosing things in heaven? With your words. Then, well, if I don't like my situation, what do I need to say? Say what God says. My God shall supply all, not some, all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What do you say? I am more than a conqueror through Jesus' love. So what do you say? You got to get into his word. Stop calling forth the darkness, but start calling forth the light. Amen. Lord, I tell you, I feel my help coming. but thing we got to understand too is that when you speak, God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that is, which is good use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearts. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. So what I'm sharing with you is be mindful of the words that you're speaking. Check it out. See, when you let those words come out, ask yourself, before you even do it, ask yourself, is this something that I want to come to pass? That's the question you need to ask. If you don't want to see it tomorrow, don't say it today. Does that make sense? Hello, anybody out there? One of the things that we also, too, and I just want to share this with you, too, is that we have to be wary of complaining. We have to be, I have a saying that goes like this, when you complain, you will remain. If you don't believe that, you remember the children of Israel when they was going through that hardship of the wilderness, being in the wilderness, and they murmured and they complained. They said to Moses, they said, you know what, if you just let us just die, we'd be better off. Guess what, y'all? They had what they said. But only two people had a different kind of confession. They said, "We are Moses, you know what? We're ready to take those boys out. I know what they said. They said, you know, the other 10 spies said that we are just like grasshoppers. And they said, you know what? I believe we can do this. Let's go at once." So out of 2 million people, only 2 was able to go into the promised land. Why? Because of their confession. That confession brought the possession. So if even in your money, I'm just talking, I don't know why I'm going here, but in your money, sometimes look in your wallet, open up that wallet and say, I thank God for white checks, blue checks, light green checks, $50 bills, $100 bills, and in my purse is heavy with that stuff. Ooh, Lord, I am so happy and grateful now that money comes to me in increasing quantities through multiple sources on a continuous basis. In other words, it never stops. That's how you call it forth home, because guess what? Words move matter. Words move matter. Let me break it down for you. Whatever is the matter with you, your words will change the matter about you. Lord Jesus, I felt that. I felt that in my big toe. So your words, you got to align your words with the word of God. And so right now, if anybody have any questions, I know I've talked a lot, but I also want to give a time for anybody who have any questions about what I said, concerning about the power of the spoken word, because one of the things I want you to do is to be able to ask questions about, I don't care what it is, I pray that God, and I pray every day, I say, Lord, use me to be an answer to somebody's prayer. Lord, use me to be the dream that awakens somebody's nightmare. So if there are any questions on the line, I would like to open the line up if you have any questions, because sometimes people want to know, well, why my prayer wasn't answered when I prayed such and such. There's always a reason. It's not so much that God did not want it for you, but there are some things in you that has not been purified. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Doubt is not pure. Fear is not pure. Anger is not pure. Resentment is not pure. Doubtful, that's not pure. So when you clean up your house, you'll be able to see the blessings of God. So I'm opening up the lines, and I should have shared this with you before, that if you were taking notes, if you had any questions about what I said, please just ask, and we'll take a whack at it and see how God moves on this. So I'm going to open up the lines. Are there any questions about what I said? And I hope I was clear.
No, Apostle Clemens, I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I'd like to thank you again for bringing the Word of God tonight in the aspect that you brought it about the spoken word. And I thank you for teaching us tonight through the Word of God that God said and it was. That God said, and it was. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I for reminding us that our words frame our world. Hallelujah. And I try to be mindful of the things that I do say. And sometimes, well, they come out perfect in the will of God. Perfect. Because all things work together for them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for teaching us and giving us that characteristic of himself to speak life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So thank you for bringing the word forth again tonight. God bless you.
Well, bless you, bless you. Is there anybody else? Because, but
Brother Clemens,
yes,
and then Milton. I don't have a question, but I just appreciate you coming online this line, and I just agree with Sister Van Ness Tammy. This it was an awesome word, and yes, we do need to watch what we say and how we say it, and especially when he says, I am, you know, we need to really think about, do we want the blessings from God? Because what comes out of our mouth, that's what does happen. So we always have to think positively versus thinking negatively. So I just really appreciate you coming on Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders line this evening, and thank you for your time, and just thank you for the word of God that just went through.
Well, bless you, bless you, bless you. And you know, and something else, this is one of the lessons that I've learned. If I don't know another Greek word, if I don't know another Hebrew word, I need to know the word of God, and I need to be fully persuaded that the word of God works when we work it. The word of God works when we work it. We have been conditioned as a people to not believe the word of God because some people say, well, if it be his will. Mm-hmm. And of course, the thing about it is when people say that, and I always, you know, share with people and just enlighten them, when people say, if it be the will, what they're really saying is that I don't know the will. But let me tell you what the will of God is. So there won't be any question. The will of God that is that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. He come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. One of his mission statements when he first opened the scroll and talked about Isaiah, he said it's to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free. All of that is the will of God. It is not the will of God for you to suffer. Some people say, well, you know, well, Paul suffered. But see, that's not the will of God for you. You cannot make Paul's what God has will for. You cannot use that to justify to say that I'm supposed to suffer. No, he came that you may have what? Life, not death. That's why he died on the cross. He died on the cross so you won't have to die. That's why he came. That is the will. And so if you have a question about the will of God, here's the question. Here's the things that you rent it by. Let me just go to, you know, just bring it real simply. If there's something in your life that you want to know if it be the will of God, run it by these two questions. Are you ready? Here it is. Is what I desire will bring harm to me? Is that thing or that whatever it is that something that is going to bring harm to me? That's question number one. Question number two, is the thing that I desire going to bring harm to others? Those are the two questions. You run that by. If any of your answers is a yes, that is going to bring harm to me, it is not the will of God. That's the test. If he's going to do something to kill you or something, no, because that's what the thief comes to do. He came to steal. Then you already automatically know it is not the will. More people, and I've done research, like people like Martin Luther King, all those people that I've done research, and I didn't have time to go through it tonight, but a lot of the people that I've studied have spoken their own deaths, didn't even realize it. And I don't, like I said, I don't have time to go into a lot of it today, but I'm just saying I've done some research, and I always was able to trace back to what they said. Some people say, I'm going to die this way. And they die. And there was even Mandela, when he said that I was going to be free in 27 years, Nelson Mandela spoke that he was going to be out of prison. He wrote a letter to the people saying, I'm going to be free. I'm going to be away from these. And he was not talking about death. He was talking about liberation, physical liberation. So the word of God works when you work it. And there's nothing wrong with your faith. If it didn't happen, it's usually an indication that you believe that it wasn't going to happen. There's nothing wrong with your faith. It's the wrong of the channel by which you turn your faith on. Fear is the what you call the reverse of faith. So, but that was good. So please be mindful of that. Be mindful of how you're talking in what in the place that you're working. That's where most people lose it. Not in their prayer chambers. They lose it on their jobs because they have a request. They want to be light people, to be light. And I understand the psychology of that. But you got to be mindful of your words. And one of the ways that can help you, and I'm trying my best to close. I just have so much. But anyway, but go out and get your journal. I challenge everybody on this line, go out and get you a journal. Go to TJ Maxx and get your journal. And call it the success journal, or you can call it your praise journal. It doesn't matter. The purpose of this journal is to do these things. Number one, write down all the things that God has done for you and through you. Change up your language. Write down all the things that God has done for you and through you. So, for example, if God does something through me, let's say I'm at Chick-fil-A and somebody's behind me, and I ask the cashier, I say, how much is their order? The people behind me, I don't even know them. They say, well, it's $16.47. I say, you know what, put that on my card. I don't even know them from Adam, but I pay for it. Guess what? God has just used me, so I write it down. Well, on the flip side of that coin, God uses somebody else to bless me and give me connections or business partners or things of that nature. Guess what? I write that down. I learn a new word. I write that down. You read it over at night, and guess what? If you read it out aloud with your voice, remember we talked about faith comes by hearing, Romans 10 and 17, and hearing by the word of God, but hearing your own voice, guess what will happen at night while you're reading? Your brain, your subconscious mind will play it over 16 times while you're sleeping as we go through the rapid eye movement and so forth, and then you're waking up feeling unstoppable. You're waking up feeling terrific. Why? Not because you're on Prozac. It's because you already set in motion for a continuous cycle of success. So I encourage you to do something about your language by using some practical applications such as getting you a journal. Also, check out Dr. Bill Winston, The Law of Confession. Check him out on YouTube. And he will give you a lot more than what I'm giving you right now because of the constraints of time. Check out Dr. Bill Winston, The Law of Confession, and that is you can use that on YouTube and check him out and be blessed by that. And if you want more information about me, if you just want to email me, my email is anthony.clements91@gmail.com. That is anthony.clements91@gmail.com if you have any questions. All right. No, geez, I just feel like I was crunk. But anyway, so now without further ado, I'm so thankful and I'm so honored to be on this call to share the word of God with you. And I hope that the things that I shared with you was of some value and kind of helped you to kind of tweak your life as you begin to utilize the things that you've learned. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm turning it back over to Miss Tammy.
Evangelist Melton, will you please do us the honors and close out Mr. Clements, Brother Clements, and close out the line? We have maybe like 40 seconds left for the broadcast. And yes, your word, the word of God went forth in a mighty way.
Yes, it did. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the man of God, Father God, that's bringing the word forth this morning, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would continue to strengthen him, Father God, uplift him, Father God. I pray, Father God, that he will continue to walk, Father God, in his destiny and his purpose, Father God, that you have for us, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for allowing him to give us things. Watch our words, Father God, because it says in your word, Father God, everything he's coming out for, Father God, he came with scripture. So we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for when you change your words, you change the world. And we just thank you so much, Father God, for him. We thank you, Father God, for his time and his effort, Father God. So I pray, Father God, that no weapons formed against him shall prosper, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that he will continue to do what you have called him to do. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and give you thanks. Amen.
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 Glory be to God. And until the next time, thank you for joining in with us. At Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters International Ministries. And if you'd like to sow into the ministry of Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters International Ministries, you can go to kingdombuilders.com or kingdombuilder@gmail.com, and you can be able to sow into the ministry, or you can call into the line, and we'll give you the information and further detail. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.
Good night.